Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know you're welcome, you're wanted, you're needed in the kingdom of God. We're glad you're here. Can't think of a better place to be than this place that's set aside for worship of Almighty God. God is good to us every day, all the time. So before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements this week. The Ladies Auxiliary are working on their quilting project to support the veterans, and that's from 9 to 10 on Monday. Thursday the 14th, the Bible study at 10 a.m. Saturday the 16th, the Women's Auxiliary Convention in Soundview. And coming up, the Ladies Auxiliary meet on Monday the 18th at 7 p.m. Tuesday the 19th at 7, with deacons will meet. Choir practice at 6:30 on the 20th, Wednesday evening. Do any of you have any announcements this morning? If not, we'll begin worship with a choir does our call to worship. Let's read together the responsive reading. You were made for a reason, an anointed purpose.
Our words and actions are important in making point of others to God Himself.
Your life preaches and was meant to make a difference. You have an incredible and unbelievable gifts.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Praise God. He fills us with the fruits of the Spirit of God. Let us worship God.
Father, we thank you today that we can come and worship. We set our eyes toward those things which are heavenly, those things that are eternal. And we seek to feel and to know your presence more than ever before. Touch us in our hearts, our spirits, and our minds. And just move on us with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You will turn in your hymnals to 438. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Jesus Saves.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
be seated. Jennifer McLaughlin has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, Lord, the ways of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my head toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And the New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Every breath that I am able, Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. When my life lay down, when I surrender now, I give you
continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember this morning? Helen Slow, okay. Who over here?
Dempsey Hill family,
okay.
Clay Howard,
okay.
The family of Linwood Berry.
Family of Linwood Berry, okay. Family of Tony Hill and the students at where?
Students and staff at Northland.
At Northland, okay. Yeah, the coach, okay. Any others?
Can we give a praise?
Yes. Jump right up and let us hold it.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody. I would say thank you for everybody here at church. But most of all, I'm thankful for Harry Miller. We call him Junior, but I love Harry Miller. Love Harry.
You don't love me? Let's all remember these and remember that God loves us too. And he blesses us. And remember our nation, our leaders. Our leaders certainly do need some wisdom from the Lord today. Throughout the whole world. And I believe God answers prayers. He's willing to listen. So let's lay it out there for him this morning. So let's take action as we pray.
Let's turn our hymnals to 634. We're going to stand and sing all three verses of More Love to Thee.
Standing, our ushers come as we worship, as we give. God, your blessings to us are so great, we're not even able to count them all this morning. So we humble ourselves before you and offer gifts of thanksgiving and worship. Ask your blessing be upon them, to use them, that Christ be magnified in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
For the doxology, please. Be seated. So our text today comes in the book of Psalms, Psalm 145. The whole chapter is a great chapter, but there's a lot there. So we're just going to take one sentence, the latter part of verse 13. And it says this, it says, "The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does." So our thought today is a promise made is a promise kept. Political campaigns are built or on the campaign promises. I don't know if you ever noticed that. If I'm elected, I'm going to do this for you, or I'm going to do that for you, or and so on. And of course, we've come to expect that a certain percentage, maybe a huge percentage of the time, that those promises are never kept. I mean, that's part of the game in politics. A promise made doesn't always mean a promise kept. But it's not only in politics. I mean, you can see that in business too. You know, certain businesses says, if you'll come and do business with me, I promise that I'll give you customer satisfaction like you've never had before. And many of them have customer support centers to help when issues arrive. However, I've come to find that sometimes they don't always come through with the service that they promise. Politics, business, and even in relationships. Sometimes people make promises and they don't keep them. I know y'all have never done that before. Sometimes it seems that we go through life seeing more promises broken than we see fulfilled. It's just part of living in a fallen world. However, today I want to talk to you about one whose promises are never broken and never forgotten. The God that we serve makes promises to his people. And unlike politicians and businesses and people, God keeps his promises. God has no reason to lie. And this is great news for you and me because he has made so many promises to us, his people. Promises that apply to every imaginable area of our lives. According to the Dictionary of Bible Themes, there are 5,467 promises from God in the Scriptures. And if we were to go through them one by one, it'd take more than a century to complete the series preaching on those 5,467 promises. But the next best option is to choose seven of the most foundational promises from God, and over the course of a few weeks, take those and these seven promises that believers not only claim, but they are also promises that you can build your life on. God has promised us so much in his word, yet too often as Christians, we experience so little. And, you know, it really doesn't have to be that way. As his children, we can walk in the fulfillment of and the joyful expectation of God's promises every day in our lives. And this makes possible the abundant life that Jesus talked about. You can experience the fulfillment of God's promises today. And you can live in joyful expectation of God's promises tomorrow. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
So for today, let's consider three ways you can respond to the promises of God. First of all, believe that all really means all. You know what all means?
All.
The first response is that you need to believe God's promises. Not only that they're true in a general sense for some people, but they are true in a specific sense for all people, including you and me. Listen to what David said. The Lord, in verse 13, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. All his promises to all his people, no restrictions, no exceptions. Anyone can get in on it. He's about to say, phew. I'm glad of that. And this is what Peter preached in Cornelius' house in Acts 10. He says, God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So it's not based on race. It's not based on culture. It's not based on class. It's not based on generation or location. All of God's promises apply to all of God's people everywhere. And that includes you and I here today. The promises of joy, the promises of peace, the promises of happiness, the promises of purpose, the promises of fulfillment, the promises of provision and abundance and blessing and protection, the promises of heaven. And we go, it's 5,000, over 5,000. God's promises, they apply, all 5,467 apply to us here today. We must be ready to receive them. In Psalm 145, depending on which translation you use, the word all or its equivalent appears more than a dozen times. That's because the message King David intends to convey here is that all of God's promises belongs to all of God's people. Hallelujah. Now, the interesting thing about biblical literature that separates it from other ancient religious literature, especially the literature of ancient Greece, can be found in how the word promise is used. In the literature of other ancient cultures, promise is typically used of a human commitment made to the gods. Man's promise to the gods. But it is never used in reference to the gods' commitment to humans. In ancient times, the idea of gods making promises to humans was non-existent. It didn't exist. But there was one notable exception. The God of the Bible, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the one true God. He's different than all other gods. He is a try me, test me, prove me kind of God. Amen. He is, I will give you my word and I will keep my word kind of God. Hallelujah. So when you read the promises of Scripture, and since there are thousands of them, they're hard to miss, you can be sure that each and every promise is true. And each and every promise applies in some way to our present and future life. You can also be sure that with God, a promise made is a promise kept. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so, through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. God keeps all his promises. Amen? Amen. Living a promise-filled life begins with saying, I will take the promises of God serious enough to believe them, all of them, and accept them as promises meant for all people, including me. Whew, that was a lot, number one. All right, number two. Trust that God knows which time is the right time. I know y'all know a lot. But listen to what David says in verse 16. The eyes of all look to you. And he's talking about God. And you give them their food at proper time. Notice that he says at proper time. And not at the preferred time. There's a difference between the two, right? I mean, this is a very important distinction because as far as I'm concerned, the preferred time was yesterday. I mean, thank you, Lord, for your promises. And I mean, what's taking you so long? Yeah, anybody ever thought like that? Yeah, okay. I didn't know if I was the only one or not. But we must realize that the key to living your life in the flow of God's promises is to understand that the promise-filled life is a two-part process. It's one part, the fulfillment of the promise. And it's one part, the anticipation of the fulfillment of the promise. One part is expectation, and one part is realization. I don't want to lose you here. Every promise that God has for you won't be fulfilled yesterday or even tomorrow. Sometimes there can be a season of waiting. The Bible says there's a time and a season for all things. And God's in charge of those seasons. So when is the promise fulfilled? At the proper time. Or as some say, you may have heard some of the old folks say, in God's time. A young pastor had been waiting for years to plant a church, man. He was gung-ho and ready to go. And for more than a decade, he prayed. And the opportunity never came along. And then suddenly it did. A door opened. He and his family moved to a new city and began exciting work. And this is what he later said. He said, I'm so thankful that I didn't try to do this 10 years ago. I wasn't prepared for the challenge. I was not ready. And I'm glad God waited until I was ready, the proper time. A lady waited well into her 30s to get married, but it wasn't her choice. She wanted to find Mr. Wright, but he was as elusive as he could be. And God didn't seem to be helping. And then the right man came along years later. They dated, got engaged, got married, and are now living the happy ever part of their story. She later said that she was thankful she didn't meet her husband when they were in their 20s because she probably wouldn't have liked him, and he most surely wouldn't have liked her. God allowed them to wait until they were both ready. He allowed them to wait until they were both mature enough to handle the challenges and the responsibilities of starting and building a home and a family together. Others could be ready to enter this season of their lives at a younger age, but this particular couple needed time to prepare. So at the proper time, God brought them together. So here's what I'm saying. There will be seasons of your life when you're living in expectation of the fulfillment of one of God's promises. This means there will be seasons when the promise remains as of yet fulfilled. During this time, it's tempted to get discouraged, isn't it? It's even tempting to call it quits, isn't it? It's even tempting to say, since it didn't happen yesterday, it can't happen today, and it'll never happen tomorrow. Many times we often have misconceptions about the promises of God. If I can't experience it right now, this minute, then the promise must not be real. Now, most Christians I know would never abandon God because a promise hadn't yet been fulfilled, but I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll give up hope. They may not stop going to church on Sunday, but they'll just lower their expectations for the life that God has called them to live. And instead of using this season of in between to grow in their faith and be joyful in the Lord, they resign themselves to grumble, to whine and complain. And for many of them, it's only upon receiving God's blessing that they realize, instead of enduring this season with an attitude of joyful expectation, they wasted the season complaining, all because of wanting the promise fulfilled at my preferred time rather than God's proper time. Listen, church. Living your life in the flow of God's promises means that you're willing to embrace seasons of anticipation as well as seasons of realization. Amen? And it brings us to what is often the missing piece of the promise fulfilled life. Number three. Here's how you can live in joyful expectation. While you're waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, you can wait in joyful expectation because you know. The Bible says that these things are written that you may know. Because you know that the fulfillment of God's promise is on its way. Even though you don't see it right away, you know that all the promises of God are yes and amen, and you're ready to build your life on that belief. So when it doesn't happen yesterday, you can say, well, that's all right. Today is another day, but it will happen at God's appointed time. Then you can say with the prophet Micah said in 7:7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. We respond to God's promises with a willingness to wait for the proper time. So here's the secret to getting started. It's found in a single word of this psalm. In verse 7, the King James Version translation says, They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The key word here is memory. In this psalm, as in so many other psalms, David is talking about the importance of remembering all the great and mighty things that God has done for his people since the beginning of time, throughout Scripture, throughout history. What if we also made it a point to remember how God has come through us. And for those close to us. And for those people who have had an impact throughout our lives, what if we remembered God's goodness and greatness? What if we went so far as to keep a list of every prayer that God had answered and every promise that God had fulfilled? What if we referred to this list during the in-between seasons when we're prone to doubt? I've come to learn that when I make it a point to remember what God has done for me in the past, it helps me maintain an attitude of gratitude. It strengthens me when I'm weak and when my faith wants to falter. It keeps that pesky sense of entitlement away. And it reminds me that I have no case for impatience. It gives me confidence to live each day with a kingdom mindset and with a faith knowing that God has all things in His hand. And we make it a point to remember what God has done in the past. It's much easier to face the season of waiting with joyful expectation because you know this means God will do it again. And that means that the secret to living a promise-filled life is a good memory. Amen? You know, Jesus talked a lot about remembering. Mm-hmm. And in conclusion, in the mid-90s, Jeff Steele wrote a powerful song about God and His promises. And this, let me read these lyrics to you. It says, God spoke to Abraham, here's your desire. You and your wife, Sarah, are going to have a child. Abraham responded, we're old. How can this be? And God said, I promise you and Sarah, just believe. And God kept His promise. He honored His word. The womb that was empty has now been made full. And your seed will remember, your seed will number the sands of the sea because you believe God kept His promise. And then He went on many thousand years later on the hill of Calvary. Jesus was dying on an old rugged tree. When He cried, all is finished, they took His body down. And God's redemption promise was laid in the ground. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, came Mary bearing spices His body to keep. When she arrived at the tomb, two men in white were there to say that God kept His promise and Jesus is alive today. And God kept His promise. He honored His word. The tomb is empty and Jesus is Lord. He came out of the grave with power to save. All who believe, God kept His promise. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. God is fulfilling His promises daily and He will continue tomorrow. Imagine this. Suppose a top executive of a very great and powerful company called you and gave you an offer too good to resist. Six figures, 401k benefits, 30 days off a year, all the holidays, expenses, cars to drive, planes to fly in. I mean, it's an ironclad offer, absolutely guaranteed. And then the boss says, well, by the way, we won't want you to start for 6 months. So now if you receive such an offer, what would you do? Would you wait 6 months to start celebrating? I don't think I would. I'd be telling everybody, huh? You know what? I'd start that celebration today, amen? I mean, even if I had to take a part-time job. But I'd be celebrating. You know, it's the same as living a promise-filled life while you're waiting on the promise to be fulfilled. You can wait with a sense of joyful expectation and celebration because you know that these are the promises of God. And His promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God's faithful to His promises. And He'll come through at the proper time. That's because with our God, a promise made is a promise kept. He got His word. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word today and the promises that You've made to us, Your people. Help us not take them for granted, but to lean on You and with faith and assurance and know that we receive Your promises today, but there are many more tomorrow to be fulfilled. And we celebrate that, and we anticipate that, and we give the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn to hymn number 487. We're going to stand and sing the first and last verses of Room at the Cross for You.
Thank you for being here, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry that spirit with you out into the world and just pour the love of Jesus on those you meet. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Okay. Yeah. Father, we thank You for this day, this time of worship. We reaffirm our faith together as we pray that prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
We forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever.
Amen.